Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
On right, what a way to get it! He couldn't miss! He is now Arsenal's all-time greatest goal scorer.
Record breaker, history maker, Thierry Henry is Arsenal's record goal scorer.
What an impact from Nketiah, his first touch, and Arsenal have equalised!
Welcome to the Arsenal Weekly Podcast with me, Dan Roebuck. On today's show, we're focusing on goals, goal scorers, all things goals. Eddie Nketiah relives his debut heroics against Norwich last season. Stand-up comedian Jim Campbell talks about Ian Wright and Thierry Henry's goal record pursuits. But let's kick off with the king, Thierry Henry.
When people think about my career at Arsenal, they always think that I arrived and I started to score goals and everything was nice. The boss was more than nice with me. The fans, as always, amazing with me. But still, you have to make sure you play and you perform. Because at the end of the day, that is the most important thing. And when I first arrived, I will always remember, I had to fight with, to get in the team, I had to fight with Davor Šuker, Nyanko Kanu, Dennis Bergkamp, or Marco Overmars if I was going to play on the left. And coming after Nicolas Anelka. I mean, they're always going to compare us, French, striker, friend also. So, and that wasn't an easy one. I remember the time when I wasn't even coming on. You know, we played against Fiorentina at the Wembley Stadium. I didn't even come on. We won a game 5-1 against Middlesbrough around just a bit before Christmas. I didn't even play. So it is a good reminder to say to some of the youngsters and some of the guys that you need to work hard to make your way, because the competition at Arsenal to play as a striker was crazy. You know, you needed to perform. You don't doubt your ability. You know, that's not me. Because the boss, I was going through a phase also where the boss wanted me to play as a striker again. And I was kind of saying to myself, hang on a minute. I'm in a national team. I won the World Cup being a winger. So I was like, am I kind of losing my time trying to relearn to play as a striker? That was more the thing. You kind of getting, it is frustrating. You know, for me at that particular moment, I've been playing. I started at 17, so I was, arrived in 99. So yeah, I just turned 22. So I was like, I've been learning to play as a winger for 5 years and I'm not the best, but I'm not that bad. So I was kind of thinking, am I losing time? And the boss was keep on convincing me, no, you'll see, you have a better career if you play as a striker. Because he reminded me that was my position. And it is true. That's right from the start as a youngster. That was my position. And he used to tell me, I saw you scoring a lot of goals when you were young at Monaco and you can't just lose it. You're getting frustrated because it is frustrating and you're getting frustrated because you don't see it happening. So you're kind of like, you said to the boss sometime, maybe I should go back on the wing, and I know I can bring a lot to the team. And I felt kind of like I wasn't helping nobody there. And then game against Derby where I scored 2 goals, and from that game, I never left the team again. For me, a good goal is a good goal. The finishing has to be the same, the way you go with the ball, the timing of your run, the way you're going to touch the ball every time to make sure that you don't push it too far, but you push it far enough to leave this one behind and not too far, because if not, the guy's going to get the ball. And trying to do that full speed and to slalom in between people and score at the end. For me, you do that against anyone, it's a good goal. But for some people, which is I understand, depends of the team, it depends of the stadium, it depends of when you're doing it. You know what? I've been someone reminded me something yesterday, which is, you know, you can always talk about the Tottenham goal and all the Man United or the goal at Madrid or whatever. But there was one goal that was more than a goal. Not in terms of the game or the beauty of the goal or whatever that usually people talk about. And I felt it and I said it. And at the time, I remember scoring it, I felt it. And we were talking about it in the dressing room. And yesterday, I had a discussion with someone and he reminded me, whenever I see that goal, I still can feel what happened that day in the stadium. It's the goal that I scored against Liverpool, drawing it 2-2. The game was Roberto Pires just scored. And I scored the third one to make it 3-2. And it's the only time in my life that I felt a stadium breathing again. It was just crazy because I'm sure you remember we lost against Man United at the semi-final of the FA Cup. Straight after that, we had a great 45 minutes against Chelsea. But I'm sure you remember we had to play 4 games in 8 days and we collapsed in the second half against Chelsea. And they rightly won because they deserved it on that day. But then we were 2-1 down against Liverpool and I felt that the stadium stopped breathing at one particular moment. We're having such a great season, people were talking about the treble, and in a week, we nearly lost everything. And when I scored that goal, not because, as I said to you, because of the goal, it's just I felt everyone was breathing again. I felt like everyone was breathing again, and I never had that feeling ever again. Usually, you when you score a goal, you share it with the fans and there is an explosion or whatever. But that day, I felt the stadium, like the stadium wasn't breathing before and suddenly the stadium was breathing straight after. It was kind of a great feeling because we didn't know where we were at that particular moment. And after that, you know, we were kind of losing our way and we came back straight away and we went on finishing the season unbeaten. Sometimes you gotta react to what you have in front of you. So that's all I did. And I would have been upset. I think we played a game in midweek before the Tottenham game against Eindhoven in the Champions League. And I had quite a similar run, and I gave the ball. That wasn't the wrong thing to do, but I thought I could have scored. So I said to myself, if I ever have another opportunity, I think I will try to have a go. And same thing happened at the weekend against Tottenham. But then I would have been upset if I didn't score because Dennis was alone right on the side. So I think, thank God, I did finish that one because Dennis would have killed me.
Let's hear from another Arsenal insider on the Arsenal Weekly Podcast.
Jim Campbell is a stand-up comedian and co-host of the brilliant Football Ramble podcast. Here's his chat with Arsenal Weekly Podcast producer Liam Roberts at the Edinburgh Fringe.
Jim Campbell, welcome to the Arsenal Weekly Podcast.
Hello, thanks for having me.
We're in Edinburgh.
We
set the scene. We're in Edinburgh. Just come from your show. Brilliant.
Yeah.
Had a
Thank
great
you very
time.
Much.
What's your experience been like at Edinburgh so far?
Oh, it's been great. It's a strange little bubble is the Edinburgh Festival, but I've been really enjoying my show. The crowds have been nice. The views have been nice. Just the atmosphere here is brilliant. It's been a little while since I've been here doing a show, so it's been great. Obviously, I missed the mothership of the Football Ramble, but I'll be back soon enough, so it's fun.
Bit like a football season. Is it like the cliches work? It's like you're only as good as your last. Performance.
Oh, yeah, and, very much so. Very much.
It's a marathon, not a sprint.
Yeah, and, yeah. I'm not fit.
Is that first three? You're like, I've got to get match fit.
I wasn't fit for that joke.
Yeah. So today we're talking about goals. Goals. We're pretty lucky. Like our generation have seen the Arsenal goal scoring record go twice in under 20 years.
It's a rare thing.
I was looking at other teams, like Manchester United, Wayne Rooney beat Bobby Charlton's record, 50-year record, that happened a couple of seasons ago. Frank Lampard, Chelsea's record, again, 50-year record. Like, just how unusual is it to have two goal scorers in 20 years to actually, like, smash records?
Yeah, it is. I guess as well, we're sort of blessed with the fact that when Thierry Henry broke it, it was possibly the best Arsenal team we'd ever seen. So I guess that sort of coincides with that anomaly. But it's been a great thing to witness, and we've been very spoiled in that era.
Yeah.
And that's great to me, because you know, a lot of what makes football fun is the memories you have. You know, like you can get on a little nostalgia binge and go through some sort of Ian Wright or Thierry Henry YouTube binges. You know, we've all just sort of sat there going, I'm going to just watch some Freddie Ljungberg goals for a couple of minutes. You know, it's great.
Do you think we'll come back to Wright and Thierry in a minute? But do you think the record will ever go again in our lifetime?
I reckon in our lifetime, yeah. I don't think it'll be for a while. I think it's going to be, because football's a very cyclical thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
So I think it's possible, but it might be 50 years.
Yeah. You know? I suppose you've got to have a player who's going to stick around at a club
yeah,
for more than,
which is increasingly strange.
10 years, probably need 10 years to do it now. Seemed two very different records. So Thierry, it seemed inevitable.
Yeah.
From the moment he like 30 goals a season, it was always going to happen. Wrighty, we kind of thought it was going to happen, but he joined the club late. He was, 25, 26?
Ian Wright is one of the reasons I support Arsenal, actually. I grew up in a town called Rainham in Essex, but it's also sort of Greater London as well, and everybody supported West Ham, but I just liked Arsenal, and Ian Wright was a big part of that for me. My family aren't big football fans, so I sort of came to it on my own, and it was Ian Wright that really made me sort of fall in love with it. I just love the way he played, in the same way he feels like a fan in the studio now, he felt like a fan on the pitch, just that big grin when he scored, and it just had such a finesse to him. I think people forget that a little bit about Wrighty, because you look back on those days and you know the Premier League wasn't maybe as slick as it is now, and Arsenal had a reputation as being boring and whatever, but he was a very, very slick player. He had a lot of skill and very fast. He just had absolutely everything. He's one of those players where you just knew he was going to score. You knew he was going to dig you out, and he was going to be the guy that, you know, solved the problem that, you know, you had. It's almost like my football dad in a way.
He never really got the international level because there was a couple of strikers always ahead of him. If he would have got that recognition, and look, he played in the poor England team, got the recognition, probably would have gone down as a world great.
Absolutely, I think his reputation would probably have been a lot higher, I think.
The day he broke the record, do you remember that?
I remember it because he celebrated it too early, didn't he? Do you remember? He revealed his T-shirt when he equalised it, and then typical Wright, he scored anyway. So
that season he only got 11 goals.
Yeah.
And six of those came in the first 2 months. Three of those in that one game against Bolton.
Yeah.
So
I wonder if that just played on his mind, and it became such a thing to get that record. Because you see it happen quite often, don't you? Players they stutter a little bit when they've got this big thing hanging over them.
Yeah. And then going to Thierry, like we said, it seemed inevitable. How early did you kind of get the feeling he's going to be the man?
I think certainly in that season where the two seasons before the unbeaten season, where it's like, okay, this guy's one of the best players in the world, so there is no doubt about that. And it was just the volume with which the goals were coming. Like, I mean, obviously, even before that, it was clear that this guy's a special thing. He's sort of like a superhero to Arsenal fans, really. The closest thing I've ever known to that being real, I suppose. But yeah, I mean, very, very early on, it was clear this was someone special. But it's the consistency of it, isn't it? Like, once you know someone isn't a one-season wonder, or there aren't some sort of weird set of circumstances that mean that they've had a good season. Yeah, it's just, I don't know, it's hard to tell looking back, isn't it? But it seems like it was always very obvious that he was going to go on and be an absolute great. But it's the quality of the goals as well. That volley from outside the area against Man United, that goal against Man City, the one that swerved in the air. Just so many goals to look back on and savour.
The Sparta-Prague game.
Perfect volley from the outside of the boot. Just sort of one of those beautiful finishes where it curls outside of the post and then back in just in the corner, right in the bottom. And he had so many of those goals in him. I think, was that the same season that he scored that goal against Real Madrid in the Bernabeu? I remember the same kit. Maybe that's my memory.
Yeah, it was the yellow kit.
Highbury was like his back garden, wasn't it? He just looked so comfortable there, and he would just torture teams, just absolutely torment them. I remember Man City, Everton, and Villa in particular. Middlesbrough too, if they were there and about at the time, because they obviously flipped between. You'd feel like Arsenal are probably going to win this 4-0, and Henry would be a big part of why that would happen.
I know this is a blasphemous question, but out of the two of them, who would you take if you could only take one of them?
It would be Henry. I love my football dad, Ian Wright, but Thierry Henry is one of the most impressive footballers I've ever seen. It was just absolute joy to watch him play.
favourite Arsenal goal you've ever witnessed?
In the flesh?
Yeah, favourite doesn't have to be the best of the, like, just your favourite goal.
I was at the Emirates for Jack Wilshere's goal against Norwich that won the goal of the season a few years ago, and that was a magnificent thing to behold. It was such a beautiful piece of skill from the team, really. But yeah, it was that was really quite special. I saw Mesut Ozil's volley against Newcastle last season as well, which was pretty special. I was right behind the corner that it nestled into as well, which made it look even better. So yeah, those two were pretty special.
They were maybe the best goals. What's your favourite goal memory? Again, could have been a 2-yard tap-in, but kind of a goal that you associate just an amazing memory with.
I think actually it would be going back to Thierry Henry, and everyone will know what I'm going to say. It was the goal on his comeback against Leeds. Because he tormented Leeds so many times. Yeah. That was a big sort of hallmark of his time at Arsenal. And also, it was the goal that he'd scored 1,000 times. Yeah. You know, it's very rare that a player has almost like a special move, but Henri did. And that was such an emotional moment. It was such a... I can't think of anything comparable to it in football.
I said that was kind of the first real moment at Emirates, I think. I know four or five seasons Emirates had been around, but it was the first time where it kind of felt home.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Goal that you scored in the playground, is there a goal you remember, say, like going over the commentary in your head as you're scoring?
What a goal that that a player scored.
Yeah, and you were kind of recreating
it. Yeah, it would be two of those. The 98 goal in the World Cup that Dennis Bergkamp scored for the Dutch, and also old to be playing football in the playground at this time, but one that I, you know, again, just sort of salivate over whenever I think about it, is again Dennis Bergkamp against Newcastle, which is one of the greatest goals ever scored by anyone, because it doesn't make sense. You look at it and you just think, how has he done that? And you can see he means it as well. A lot of people say he doesn't mean it, but it never breaks his concentration. You can see that there's never a point where he is thrown by what's happened, and that is just phenomenal.
Is that where you think people sometimes think he didn't mean it, because you can't explain it?
I think
a different level, isn't it?
I think people just think, well, surely you can't, surely he couldn't have meant that.
Yeah.
So I think it was possibly in his book, he talks about how he never scored his perfect goal. He had a goal in his head that he'd always wanted to score, and he never managed to put it off in a match. And I don't know if he describes what it was or whether he kept that a secret, but I love that.
It's got to be that, hasn't it, when he's talking about that?
Yeah.
And final one, goal you want to see, hasn't happened yet. What is the goal you want to see Arsenal score?
Goal I want to see Arsenal score. I tell you what, it's a rare thing and it's a beautiful thing. I'd love to see anyone score a goal from the halfway line for Arsenal. I'd absolutely love it. Someone weird as well. But I don't know. Peter Cech coming out to make a long clearance.
I was always going to say, that was going to be Coughlin's first goal, wasn't it? It was going to be the half. So, Jim, got anything to plug? We got on the tour?
Yes. So, obviously, you can check out The Football Ramble, my podcast that I co-host with some absolute heroes at thefootballramble.com. And you can also check out my stand-up stuff at mrjimcampbell.com. And I'm up here at the Edinburgh Festival at the moment, and I'm doing my show at the Mash House for Just the Tonic at 5:05. And it's paid what you want, so you can book a ticket in advance through the Ed Fringe website, or you can turn up on the door and hope the space and make a donation at the end if you so choose.
Jim Campbell, thank you very much.
Thank you.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive and June. Olive and June gives you everything that you need for a salon quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive and June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive and June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Eddie Nketiah burst onto the scene last season with a match-winning double in the Carabao Cup against Norwich. Here he is recalling that special night.
Yeah, against Norwich, when I was told I was coming on, 85th minute, I think it was, you know, I sprinted over as fast as I could, you know, pulled down my trousers as soon as possible and, you know, was ready and in my shorts, put my shin pads on and, you know, was itching to go on and, you know, all that was running through my mind, I was just thinking, oh, if I get one chance to try and get the team back in it, you know, I'll make sure I'm in the right position to take it. And, yeah, I was just really eager to make an impact and, you know, to come on and do so in such quick time, you know, 15 seconds, it was really great for me and my family and, you know, it's a big day for me, I always remember it. Yeah, it was brilliant, you know, it was a great feeling for me. You know, getting the first goal was great and, you know, for me, I just wanted to make sure, you know, I gave it all and made sure I helped the team, you know, get a positive result and to get the winner as well, you know, that's a great feeling. It's what you dream about every night when you go to sleep as a kid and, you know, to turn it into reality, oh, it was a great feeling. And, you know, like I said, the main thing was just to help the team and, you know, turn that result around. And I'm so grateful and happy that, you know, I was able to do so. And, you know, it was a proud moment for me and I'll never forget that day. You know, I was so overwhelmed, so excited, you know. I even lost my head a bit, you know, with the celebration. I'm usually cool and calm with the celebrations, you know. But, yeah, I was so happy and delighted, you know. I just can't even remember. I think I'd done a knee slide, you know. Classic knee slide, and yeah, it was just a great feeling for me. Like I said, I was so happy. Yeah, it was off the cuff, you know. I'd done, you know, the little celebration with the crossed arms, you know. Like I said, I was just so overwhelmed and, you know, I was pumped, you know, I was feeling so excited and happy. And, you know, to be able to celebrate with some of the academy boys that have been grafting and working with me, you know, it was a great feeling for me and really happy day. Yeah, you know, to be fair, the celebrations came up nice in the camera, so, you know, I wouldn't change a thing of that night. And, you know, the only thing I say is maybe to get my hat-trick, but, you know, there's plenty of time for that.
He's done it this time!
What an extraordinary way to win the title.
When an irresistible force meets an old immovable object, something's got to give.
Roebuck versus...
Yes, it is that time of the podcast once again. It is Roebuck versus. It is me, Dan Roebuck, versus the great and good of the Arsenal world. And today I'm pleased to say that we have got our pitchside Emirates presenter with us, Nigel Mitchell. Nigel, how are you?
Well, I was all right until you asked me to do this.
And of course, we've got our producer, Liam, who is going to reveal the quiz. I have to say this to listeners as well, because some of them don't realise this, that I don't know the quiz beforehand.
No.
I honestly don't.
You look as petrified as I do. And the only person who's actually smiling genuinely in here is producer Liam, isn't it?
It's the only fun I have all week.
Come on.
Okay, so we're talking goals today. Yeah. Goals on the podcast.
Well, we see lots of them.
We're going to do, I will give you a year. You'll tell me who you think is the leading scorer for Arsenal that season in the Premier League.
Yeah.
We're going to do five each.
Yeah.
I'm not going to double up. So Thierry Henry obviously did it several times.
So once Henry's gone, he's gone.
He's gone.
Got it. Okay, so this is 92-93 onwards.
Correct, because that's when football started.
That's when football started, of course.
Just a couple of decades to play with, they're not good.
Yeah.
Okay, so who wants to go first?
Nigel is the guest, so Nigel can go first.
Thanks, Dan.
Okay, let's start with 1997-98.
97-98.
97.
So just a couple of years after the bottom.
98 in the Premier League. So that was
second Wenger season.
First full season.
First full, yeah. Remember, this is a podcast, yeah. No one can see us.
I want to say. Can I say what I want to say?
Of course,
and then what
you
I'm
can.
Going to say. Yeah. I want to say Wrighty, but I think I'm going to say Nicolas Anelka.
Dennis
Bergkamp. Was it? Really? Wow, okay.
97-98, Bergkamp.
Yeah.
Was it?
Premier League only. Good.
Yeah.
2007-2008.
07-08 was probably Robin van Persie.
Manuel Adebayor.
Oh!
0-0.
This is hard.
I like this game. Less and less by the second.
Okay.
It's like the worst penalty shootout ever. Nigel?
Nigel Mitchell.
1994-95. 94-95. I'm going to go Ian Wright then.
Has to be sure.
Correct.
Yes!
1-0-9.
So Wrighty's gone, Adebayor's gone.
Bergkamp's gone.
I'm going to get.
How many have we got?
Too many.
You're too many. Okay.
2014, 2015.
14-15 was. That's only 4 years ago. So Van Persie had gone, I think, by then, hadn't he? Giroud.
It was Alexis.
Oh!
2009, 2010.
Say it as often as you want. 9-10. 9-10.
Is it Fabregas?
It is.
Yes! Oh, no way! I can't believe you pulled that out of the bag.
Get in!
I have never seen someone so happy to get that.
I can't believe you pulled that out of the bag.
Quality.
Yeah, that's good effort, that.
Dan Roback. 2012, 2013.
12, 13 must have been RVP.
Theo Walcott.
I don't know why I was so nervous now. I love this game. Can I come back next week?
So, Nigel, for the win. 2015, 2016.
Oh. So that was a year after. Hmm. Yeah, you pull one out of the bag for the previous campaign. 15-16.
15-16 then would probably be Giroud.
Correct.
Yes. Oh, man. So that's it, is it?
3-0. Do you want to do the final one?
Yeah, do the final one anyway. On, just see if I can get at least one.
1998-99.
That was... Well, I want to say Henri. So it's got to be Henri.
It's a Nelka.
Oh, yeah. God's sake.
Is that Thierry yet?
No, that's
I'm
it.
I'm going to get him now.
Yeah.
And finally.
This is for 4-0.
This is for 4-0. And
2010-2011.
Ooh, 2010-2011.
Ooh.
That's a tough one. Just trying to think who we had then. Have you had Robin van Persie yet?
I've said it about three times.
I'm going to... 2010-11. I'll go Robin van Persie.
He's done it.
I'd like to say it was a good game,
four,
Nigel,
sorry.
But
4-0.
I don't know, honestly.
Well done.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, congratulations.
Thank you.
You're not welcome back again.
It was nice to be on the show.
Well, that's full time on today's pod. Thanks to all of our contributors. You can help us out by subscribing to the show on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts to make sure you never miss an episode. And while you're there, why not leave us a review and 5-star rating? We'll be back next week when we'll be looking into our German influence.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.